But right now, it's time to turn our attention to this day in history. And I'm joined here in the studio by one of our breakfast producers to tell us all about it.
Good morning, Ian. Chloe. Good morning, Ian. On this day in 1911, Sun Yat-sen was first elected as the President of the Republic of China. So Sun Yat-sen is known as the founding father of the Republic of China, and he established a government to replace the Funan monarchy. The Republic was formally officially established on the 1st of January 1912, and it was the first system of government in China after the Qing dynasty was overthrown, which ended more than 2,000 years of imperial rule.
Yeah, that must have been a big day. That doesn't happen every day, does it? Thrown over a 2,000-year-old monarchy, really.
Yes, well, and it was only a republic itself for a short while. As we all know, China's now a communist country.
Well, they had to endure sort of years of war and disruption because the republic didn't last really that long. They all split after the after Sun Yat-sen's successors, started fighting each other. And
yes,
everything.
Well, it was the main governmental system in China until 1949, when it was defeated by the Communist People's Liberation Army in the Chinese Civil War. The ruling Communist Party renamed the region the People's Republic of China, which is obviously not confusing at all, but that remains the official name of the region to this day. And while Sun Yat-sen's original vision was of a unified and democratic China, much of the period was governed by warlords and president-cum-dictator Yuan Shikai, who was promised the president's seat in exchange for making the then Qing emperor abdicate. But Shikai then subsequently assassinated the next man who was elected and tried to reinstate the monarchy with himself as emperor, which led to a massive destabilization of the government at the time, which made way for various warlords and infighting until the communists took control.
It's incredibly interesting history, really, because, yeah, as you say, like, the Republic really only lasted till 1927, and then the really Nationalist Party, which contained communists, essentially, started a civil war within itself, and they called that off in 1937 till 1945 to kick the Japanese out, and once they were out, they started it up again. Yeah.
And it's actually kind of strange that the Republic of China kind of still exists in a little bit of a form with its de facto capital in Taipei in Taiwan, the official name of Taiwan is still the Republic of China, and it claims to be the sort of legitimate government of China, even though the Communist ruling party has control of 99% of the people and the land.
Yeah, well, up until the early 70s, most countries still recognised Taiwan as the official. They occupy the seat of China at the United Nations, but there you go. We were one of the first, I think, to recognise People's Republic of China as China.
Mm.
Yeah. But what else happened on this day?
Well, I've got a little bit more war history. So on today in 1940, the German army dropped the first incendiary bombs as part of the London Blitz.
Wow. What is it with you and war?
Don't know, just not really much else happened on this day. So, short for the Blitzkrieg, the World War II Blitz bombings were some of the most devastating attacks to occur on English shore during World War II, and the December 29th incendiary bombings were particularly harsh. Then they caused a lot of damage and burnt a number of very important British monuments and killed more than 3,500 British civilians. The firestorms they set caused more than 15,000 separate fires, and some of the monuments that were damaged in the attack include famous locations such as St. Paul's Cathedral, Westminster Abbey, Buckingham Palace, and even the British Chamber of Commons.
Well, it would have been pretty horrific, but any being bombed anywhere would be horrific, I'd imagine.
Yeah, well, the Germans sort of started bombing the British capital in London in August of 1940 after the British attacked Berlin in the same month. And while the British were sort of terribly outgunned and they suffered heavy losses to the RAF during that time, the skill of the pilots and the manoeuvrability of the aircraft definitely outstripped Germany in some of the main dogfights. And the period of war that included the air raids was eventually known as the Battle of Britain, and Germany's failure to take the country was kind of instrumental in the Allies' eventual triumph at the end of World War II.
It is one of the things that victors in war get to do, which is sort of, you know, talk about their side in it, and people forget about, you know, what happens to victims on the other side, whether they were the aggressors or not, because, you know, they were bombing them at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows what their stories might be. So anything else for us, Chloe?
Well, a little bit. kind of a strange one. In 1997, Hong Kong announced that it would just straight up kill all of the chickens in the country to try and stop the spread of avian flu.
Oh, was that it? I thought they were just telling bad jokes. No? There you go.
They sort of went on a little bit of a chicken aside. They culled around 1.5 million fowl and closed their borders to live chickens, which did stop the outbreak of avian flu at the time, but it also earned the Hong Kong government praise originally, but ended up sort of having massive economic ramifications. And eventually it didn't actually stop avian flu, which resurfaced in the sort of early 2000s.
Yeah. I mean, we've had a few big chicken culls here in Australia, I think, to stop outbreaks.
Yeah. Well, in 2004 and 2005, I think they killed around 100 million chickens just in Southeast Asia.
That's incredible.
To try and stop it. Although, you know, that's not really the way you're supposed to do it. You're supposed to kill just the chickens who are infected and the ones who have been in contact with the infected, according to the World Health Organization.
Yeah, because they monitor that in big populations of sort of pigs and birds up in Asia, don't they, for flus every year?
Mm-hmm.
But the avian flu was scary, I suppose, because it could jump supposedly straight to us and not to pigs first.
Yes, because there was two strains of the virus, which was bird flu and then eventually swine flu as well.
So what were the economic repercussions?
Well, it was kind of terrible for the economy because a lot of chicken farmers were basically losing their livelihoods in these chicken culls, and a lot of the sort of culling made it harder to track and harder to keep track of because farmers were just not reporting chickens that were suffering from the disease because they were just going to lose their entire livelihood.
Yeah, you'd think you'd sort of be paid for it, but I can see what you mean. People would be just pretending that there was nothing wrong. I assume that if you ate a chicken that was having a little bit of a cough and a bit of a runny nose, that as long as you cooked it, you were probably okay.
Yeah, well, I think that it was mainly working with chickens, but I think also eating with chickens that were infected. And bird flu is fatal. It can be fatal.
Shouldn't really be laughing. It's a rather serious topic, but I just love all this thing about, closing the border to chickens because they're just lining up at the airport and working with chickens because they're in all the workplaces these days.
Yeah.
Look, what should we listen to celebrate all that you've told us today?
Well, I mean, it doesn't quite fit because it's been a little bit morbid this morning. Partially because Bob Marley became a postage stamp in Jamaica on this day and partially because it's something nice to listen to on a Friday morning. I think we're going to listen to...
How did they make Bob Marley into a postage stamp?
They transformed him and then... I think we're going to take a little listen to Don't Worry, Be Happy.
Well, thanks so much for joining us, producer Chloe Holmes.
Thank you very much.